The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
It does show the sort of strain that the market is under this winter.
It's very rare to hear the chief economist of the Bank of England being so frank about Brexit.
I think that what's more problematic for policy in the UK is following these basics so that people make decisions on the basis of the full picture.
Stephen, I would like to have a small rant.
Oh, just a small one. That's a relief.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Welcome to the programme.
Well, coming up on the show today, it is Prime Minister's Questions Day, or should I say Deputies at the Dispatch Box Day. I'm rather looking forward to it. Dominic Raab will be facing Angela Rayner. We'll bring you that as soon as the Labour Deputy Leader stands up for her first question.
Yeah, of course, this is because the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer are attending the funeral of the former Speaker of the House of Commons, that is Betty Boothroyd, of course, Baroness Boothroyd. She was the first female Speaker in the House in 700 years. So no surprise that so many people will be attending that. A former Labour MP, she was Madam Speaker from 1992 to 2000. She was first in the era of television, of televised debate. So she's certainly imprinted on my memory.
Yeah, I think those of us who were following politics in the 90s, I was very saddened by this news. She's one of those people that I've never met, but very kind of real to me. And she was just incredible at her job, really. She was tremendously fun.
And funny, a huge sense of humour. And you absolutely got that from the comments that she would make in the House of Commons. She was unique. She had a big personality, loads of stagecraft, loads of animation. She was fabulous to watch, I think, on TV.
Yes, and I think she managed to combine being very stern with misbehaving MPs, which, you know, let's be honest, is absolutely essential. But we're doing it, you know, with really good humour.
Yes.
So a really first class speaker, and so entertaining, if one can use that word.
Yes, and also I think significant in a way, perhaps in the way that Thatcher perhaps did not succeed in people thinking about her as having elevated women. That was one of the criticisms often around Margaret Thatcher, and that did not seem to be ever something that Betty Boothroyd could have been accused of. She was a former Labour MP from Yorkshire, of course, very originally. And did you know that her first job in Parliament was actually from another Labour titan, and that was Barbara Castle, who gave her first job.
Yes, goodness, I didn't know that, actually. Mm. Yeah, and incredibly popular, really, right across the House, actually.
Yes.
Nobody thought of her as a Labour speaker. She was very much a speaker who was fair and even-handed to both sides of the House.
Yeah, absolutely. So very sad news, I think, today. But also, just ahead of Prime Minister's questions, yes, with the deputies at the dispatch box, Scotland has a new First Minister, Ewan.
Yeah, a day after the results of the SNP leadership race, Humza Yousaf has been confirmed as Scotland's new First Minister after a vote in the Scottish Parliament. He is the youngest First Minister, 37 years old.
Yes, amazing.
And also the first Muslim to lead a major UK political party. Kate Forbes is not going to be in the top team. Angela Rayner has just stood up. We're listening.
And can I share the Deputy Prime Minister's words on our Baroness and our thoughts with her family today? And I'm sure the whole House will join me also in paying tribute to Paul O'Grady after his sad death was announced today. He was a national treasure and a true Northern star, and he will be greatly missed. Madam Deputy Speaker, this week the government announced their so-called anti-social behaviour policy. It's only taken 13 years. And look, I'll give him some credit. The Deputy Prime Minister knows firsthand the misery caused by thugs and their intimidating behaviour. Lurking with menace, exploding in fits of rage, creating a culture of fear, and maybe even, I don't know, throwing things. So can I ask him, under his new antisocial behaviour, does he think more bullies will be brought to justice?
Madam Deputy Speaker, I can reassure the House I've never called anyone scum. Honourable Lady is serious about standing up for communities and people who suffer at the scourge of antisocial behaviour, she'd back our plan to deal more swiftly with these issues, to make sure that we ban drugs beyond the conventional ones, give police the powers they need, and if they really want to protect the public, they'll back our plans for parole reform to make sure the murderers, the terrorists, the child killers are not allowed out free to threaten other people, and reintroduce the ministerial veto that side took away.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I'd like to see the ministerial code being introduced under day two on that side of the House, because it's not just his department where antisocial behaviour is running out of control, it's happening across the country. Police officers disappearing from our streets, replaced by criminals, plaguing our towns and leaving people feeling unsafe. The truth is that the Conservatives are missing in action in the fight against crime. So can he tell his constituents and the public why, after 13 years of his party in government, there are now 6,000 fewer neighbourhood police officers on Britain's streets?
Madam Deputy Speaker, she really does have a brass neck, because they voted against our funding of police recruitment and the 20,000 extra police officers. But what I will tell her and the whole House is crime is lower than it was under the last Labour government. Violent crime is halved. Reoffending is 7 percentage points lower. And if she really wants to stand up for the public and the victims of crime, they should back our bill to protect victims and protect the most vulnerable from serious killers, rapists and terrorists. Yeah.
Deputy Speaker, no one believes that there's more police on the streets and no one feels safer. Neighbourhood policing has gone down and not up. Let's talk about crime. He knows, as well as I do, that neighbourhood police can help prevent antisocial behaviour and knife crime. But trusted local police are also crucial to protecting women. Women feel unsafe on Britain's streets, always looking over our shoulder as we hurry to our front door. So can he tell me, under his watch as Justice Secretary, what is the charge rate for rape?
Can I address all of those elements of that? And first of all say that the issue of rape and serious sexual violence against women is one of our top priorities. She asked what we're doing about it. Since 2019, police referrals of cases are doubled. CPS charges have doubled. She asked on my watch what has happened. the volume of convictions in rape cases increased by 2/3. And if she really wants to protect vulnerable women, whether it's rapists or from rapists or other serious crimes, they will back our parole reforms, which will mean ministers able to prevent them being released onto the public and cause more threats.
Angela Rayner.
He says that rape conviction has gone up. What he really means is that 300 women will be raped today, while he boasts about an increase of 0.5%. He hasn't answered my question, Madam Deputy Speaker, because he's too ashamed of the answer. 1.6% of rapists based being charged for their crime. 1.6%. Let that sink in. A woman goes through the worst experience of her life. She summons up the courage to relive that horrendous experience, to tell the police in detail about her assault. But she only has a 1.6% chance of action being taken. Over 98% of rapists will never see the inside of a courtroom, let alone a prison. And the rest of those brave women, Madam Deputy Speaker, they keep looking over their shoulders and hope the perpetrator doesn't choose tonight to take their revenge for reporting the incident to the police. In the last 13 years of the Tory government, more than 500,000 cases of rape have been recorded by the police. But the charge rate for those attacks have collapsed. He has served under 5 Tory prime ministers and had 3 years as justice minister. And on his watch, rapists are left to roam the streets. So will he apologise to those victims who will never get justice because of his failures?
Yeah. I'll first of all say to the Right Honourable Lady, the conviction rate measured by the CPS, the leader of the Labour Party used to be in charge of the CPS, he might want to point this out. Well, actually, the conviction rate has gone up. It is now at 69%. We are doing much more to support the victims of rape when they come forward. Well, they're talking a good game. In fact, we have quadrupled funding for victims since 2010. And if she looks at the latest data, the time it's taken from charge to completion of a rape case has come down by 10 weeks or 70% in the last 3 months alone. She should get her facts straight, particularly when talking about such a sensitive issue.
Angela Rayner.
Madam Deputy Speaker, he won't apologise for the government failures on charge rates, and 69% of 1.6%. Is that really something to boast about? Let me ask him about an issue which is directly his responsibility. On his watch, rape survivors are waiting on average more than 3 years for their cases to come to court. The Honourable Member talked about 10-week reduction. 3 years, Deputy Leader. 3 years. So 10 weeks is not anything to boast about. Those 3 years, from the day of the assault to the final day of court, is it any wonder that from April till September last year, 175 trials for rape and other serious sexual offences have had to be dropped because the victim could no longer cope with the delay? Yeah. So let me ask him, when will he apologise to all those women denied justice because of his failure to keep to sort the court backlog?
Well, she ignores the impact on the court backlog of the pandemic, or indeed the CBA strike. But let me tell her what we're doing. We've quadrupled funding for victims since 2010, quadrupled the funding provided by the last Labour government. We launched the 24/7 support line so that when those victims of that appalling crime come forward, they get the support they need. We've increased the number of independent sexual violence advisers to over 1,000, and we're making sure that women that suffer this appalling crime can give pre-recorded evidence in court. We're doing everything that we can, and as I said, the rates are coming down. And we will keep taking action in this area. If the Labour Party were really serious about this, they wouldn't have voted against longer sentences for dangerous, violent and sexual offenders in the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Act, and she would get behind our Victims and Prisoner Bill today.
Angela Rayner.
Madam Deputy Speaker, not a word of apology. No sense of responsibility, and not even a shred of shame. The reality is, while people in Britain feel more and more unsafe, he seems to spend all of his time trying to save his own job and none of his time on his actual job. And it's not just me that thinks so. The Prime Minister clearly doesn't trust him to deal with antisocial behaviour because he's given that job to the Levelling Up Secretary. The way things are going, and reports are to be believed, this might be your last PMQs. So let's look at the highlights. A criminal justice on its knees. The largest court backlog on record. Rape victims waiting for justice. And through it all, he managed to rack up 24 formal complaints from his own civil servants. So can he say today, will he walk before he's pushed?
Madam Deputy Speaker, one thing never changes. She always comes with her usual bluster and political opportunism. Let me tell the Right Honourable Lady what we've been doing, what I've been doing this week. We've delivered new legislation to support the victims of crime, including rape, and to protect the public. We've delivered a plan to stamp out antisocial behaviour, and we've supported families with their energy bills. What's she done? What have the Labour front bench done? They tried to block our small boats bill, and that's the difference between them and us. We deliver for Britain. She likes to play her political games.
Stephen Metcalfe.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and it is wonderful to see you in your place. As my right honourable friend will be aware, the Thames Freeport was recently given the final go-ahead to become fully operational, creating thousands of jobs and attracting millions in inward investment. Will my right honourable friend join me in congratulating the team behind the bid and encourage businesses and investors from across the South East, indeed across the world, to take a closer look at the fantastic opportunities that exist in Thurrock? And will he work with local education providers to ensure my constituents have the skills needed to take up these fantastic opportunities?
Can I thank my honourable friend? I certainly do support and pay tribute to all of those who have made the new Thames Freeport possible, with its potential to deliver over 12,000 new jobs. I look forward to seeing the local community and the wider communities benefit from the tax benefits, the custom zones, and we'll see how these plans progress. I think it's good news to see the communities in Basildon and Thurrock taking full advantage of the Brexit opportunities.
Yeah. Deputy Leader of the SNP, Murray Black.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and I also wish to send my warm regards to the family of Paul O'Grady, the legendary drag queen, for all he's done for my community. I also want to congratulate Hamza Youssef as he becomes First Minister of Scotland. As the first Scots, Asian and Muslim to hold such an office, I'm sure the whole House will send his warm regards. Now, in recent days, video footage has emerged of the former Chancellor and the former Chair of the 1922 Committee offering their services for £60,000 on top of their MP's salary. The former Health Secretary offered his wisdom for £10,000 a day.
Going once.
Can I ask the Deputy Prime Minister, when he is inevitably booted out of office, what will his going rate be?
Well, can I welcome her to the chamber? The system of declarations is there to ensure transparency and accountability. And of course, the Conservatives backed tightening up those rules to make sure that there couldn't be any lobbying. But can I also join with, accept to take her up on her tribute to the new First Minister of Scotland. The Prime Minister spoke to him last night. We welcome him to his place. And of course, the government want to work constructively with him in the best interest of the people of Scotland.
Murray Black.
During a cost of living crisis, as his colleagues eye up barrels of cash from fake companies, it's the people across these aisles that are being led by donkeys and they're sitting on the Now, the former Health Secretary also said that he would impart his wisdom for £1,500 an hour. Most nurses earn little above £15 an hour. Who does the Deputy Prime Minister think is best value for money and for the public?
Yeah. Prime Minister.
Well, I'm delighted that the majority of the health unions have accepted the PACE settlement. We think that that's absolutely we think that that's absolutely right. And she raises the issue, and of course we've worked with on a cross-party basis to curb the limits on second earnings. I noticed the benches on this side are curiously quiet. Is that because there's 10 shadow cabinet members on their benches who are taking earnings?
Ewan, I thought that was really open season, frankly, on the Deputy Prime Minister, Dominic Raab. He faced incredibly tough questions from Angela Rayner, but also from the SNP Deputy Leader, Mari Black. Incredibly angry, I think, is what I came away with from that PMQs. Will more bullies be brought to justice was the question that Rayner asked her first question out of the gate. And his response was citing something that had been quoted on Angela Rayner's part. He said to her very angrily, you know, I've never called anybody scum, which was a quote attributed to her that she then defended. This was extremely, extremely testy.
Yeah, really powerful stuff, wasn't it? Rayner saying that there have been 24 formal complaints against the Deputy Prime Minister. Of course, two are being investigated by the PM's appointee, Adam Tolley. Mm. Adam Tolley, KC, is looking into these things. He's been looking into it since November. Of course, Raab denies ever having bullied anybody. But you can see he looked pretty rattled, didn't he? He looked pretty angry in this exchange.
Well, that final question that Angela Rayner asked him, this must be your last PMQs. I mean, ouch. Ooh. Will you walk before you are pushed? Will he walk before he is pushed? Dominic Raab responded, this is the usual bluster and political opportunism. But, you know, does the opposition sort of sense that there is a deeper problem? This has been the question mark hanging over the Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab for some time. But again, another PMQs centering on the issues of crime.
Yeah, it was really gloves off stuff, wasn't it? Yeah, and as you say, they sent all their questions on crime last time. And again, all on the issue of crime this time. And I thought some really strong, really powerful stuff from Angela Rayner on the lack of rape convictions. She says only 1.6% of rapes are charged.
Yes.
Raab countering that the actual conviction rate of that very small number has gone up. But I thought, yeah, Angela Rayner was very strong on this, I thought.
Well, again, it is a topic that many people think is quite close to her heart. She's been a shadow minister dealing with equalities and women's issues. She was also worked in the care professions for a short period of time before becoming a politician. So this is a kind of area that is very much on her turf, I think I would say. The response that Raab was giving is that this is the top priority for government. Although, again, I did think that Rayner's point around nobody in the UK, nobody walking the streets in the UK can feel that there are more police officers on the beat, which was sort of Raab's defence. He was saying that there is more money being put into policing courts and crime. But, yeah, I thought it was a harsh back and forth.
Yeah, it's interesting when we have these exchanges between the deputies, I often think they are more as a spectator, they're more exciting than the general exchanges, because I sort of feel that, you know, they put their heart and soul into it because they've had more time to prepare. They don't do it very often, and they really want to make an impression. I sort of remember this from going back, you know, over the years, that they're often very, very watchable.
Yes, watchable, but I think it's also perhaps a window perhaps into what the actual parliamentary parties are really like in terms of the combative nature of it. The difference of opinion is far more sharply drawn by the deputies than I think it is by the more polished leaders.
Yeah, and they're able to say what they feel. I mean, you know, Rayner is not known for sort of beating around the bush, is she? And I think Raab can probably be quite outspoken as well, if you know.
Absolutely. But on that point, I do think worth mentioning Mari Black, you know, talking about barrels of cash from fake companies, you know, this issue that emerged in a sort of sting operation, you know, all above board, according to parliamentary rules. But it has caught a lot of attention that some Conservatives were found to have be willing to accept money for consulting work in a way that others have frowned upon.
Yeah, that sting operation. Yeah, I thought some really strong questions from Mari Black, 28-year-old Mari Black, not the baby of the house, but she was the baby of the house when she was elected in 2015.
Same time as Angela Rayner came into Parliament.
Aha, yes, at the age of 20. Mari Black was 20 when she got elected.
Yeah.
She's no longer the baby of the house, but yeah, she is pretty young, and she is also the deputy leader of the SNP at Westminster.
I think that's very interesting. Also, there are a few other things to think about. Remember that tomorrow we're going to get apparently these green initiatives from the government. This idea about trying to move the UK forwards. There is actually quite a bit of policy going on, which is worth sort of noting and underlining. And what we thought was a government that might be at the end of the road. The government tomorrow is meant to be working, outlining and talking about taxing imports of some products that may be using highly polluting processes. So we're expecting to hear more from this on the Energy Secretary Grant Shapps tomorrow. Comes out on a day when we have been reporting about the Climate Change Committee's semi-annual report, which is utterly damning about Britain's progress when it comes to addressing climate change and the fact that the UK is strikingly unprepared, in their words, for the changing climate.
Yeah, of course, the UK, I think the first country in the world to pass mandatory climate change targets to hit a certain point by 2050. But having passed that, being the first to do that, it doesn't seem like the government has done a great deal to say how we're going to get there, because it's going to be very, very difficult. And as you say, that very damning report from the Climate Change Committee saying that basically we're not really making a plan to get there at all at the moment.
No. Remember 40 degrees Celsius in August last year? I do. Absolutely sweltering in London. Totally ghastly. So there apparently is perhaps going to be more word on how to retrofit and upgrade your home to deal with that. You know, a couple of government policies on that subject have failed in the past.
Yeah, another interesting thing out today, the UK's biggest pharmaceutical lobby say that the government has failed to improve the UK's reputation as a poor place to invest. And it says to become a science superpower, we're going to have to attract a lot more money. And it says that the government is really not doing that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is it for us for today. Of course, Prime Minister's questions. Yes, I think that will be remembered as a pretty robust, perhaps even bloody exchange between the deputy leaders. And looking ahead to tomorrow then, to that Green Day. But also the Liberal Democrats, a word on them?
Yes, the election launch has just happened. It is just 5 weeks now until local election day, which we are all looking forward to. The Lib Dems are calling for more GPs. That's their big headline from their election launch. I'm hoping to make some inroads in some of those blue wall seats. So we'll be talking more about that over the coming weeks.
4th of May, can you believe it? Well, that's it from us for today. If you do like the programme, don't forget to subscribe. Give it 5 stars so that other people can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
This episode was produced by James Walcock, and our audio engineer was Mariful Hussain. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Caroline Hepker. We'll be back with much more tomorrow. This is Bloomberg UK Politics.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Success. It's discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management and investment banking firms in the industry. Stifel. It's where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.